The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 18th through Sunday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2023. The commentary for the month of December was written by Christine Woodside, a lifelong Episcopalian, writer and editor, wife and mother of two grown daughters. She edits the Mountain Journal Appalachia, and her new book is called Going Over the Mountain. She lives in Deep Rover, Connecticut, and worships at St. John's Episcopal Church in Essex. The commentary for Monday, December 18th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 24. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce great signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Here's the commentary. I was a senior in high school. A woman who had come to work in the school office volunteered to advise a big event that I had somehow found myself co-chairing. I was overwhelmed with the duty. This staff member told me she could help. She got more friendly, inviting me to her house. She told me about a religious movement I had never heard of, one in which she and her housemates took part. I went with her to one of the movement's meetings, and its focus on the human leader seemed strange. But she was so friendly and insistent that I felt torn and confused. My mother suggested I write to an expert on religious cults. His response was that the organization was definitely a cult. I realized that someone had taken advantage of me, but my mother helped me avoid going astray. Sometimes those first steps down an errant path have what seem to be innocuous beginnings. And I'm going to read from the full Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 15 through 31. So when you see the desolating sacrilege standing in the holy place, as was spoken of by the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the housetop must not go down to take what is in the house. The one in the field must not turn back to get a coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For at that time there will be great suffering, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, and false prophets will appear and produce great signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Take note, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. If they say, look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east, and or there he is, I do not believe it. For false messiahs flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man, wherever the corpse is, where the vultures shall gather. Immediately after the suffering of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall upon heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And the moving forward suggestion for this Monday, December 18th, thank God for those who have our best interests at heart. Let us be open to their wisdom and advice. The commentary for Tuesday, December 19th, begins with a passage from the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 in the Old Testament. I looked up and saw a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I asked, "Where are you going?" He answered me, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length." In this vision, a builder of sorts has arrived to prepare for building a wall around Jerusalem to serve as protection. Builders are always measuring things as they plan for how best to build. Building walls is expensive and a long job, and the end results would not necessarily protect the city, as this story hints. Throughout history, people have tried to protect themselves by building walls, fences, levees, and fortresses. They often don't achieve their intended purposes. Barriers can introduce new problems by drawing attention to the areas they surround. They broadcast conflict in that way. The wall announces, "Go away," to everyone, those who would actually be welcome and those who are enemies. Few walls can be thick enough or tall enough to keep out enemies determined to break in. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Zechariah. This is chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 13. I looked up and saw a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then I asked, "Where are you going?" He answered me, "To measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length." Then the angel who talked with me came forward, and another angel came forward to meet him and said to him, "Run, say to that young man, Jerusalem shall be inhabited like villages without walls, because of the multitude of people and animals in it. For I will be a wall of fire all around it, says the Lord, and I will be the glory within it. Up, up! Flee from the land of the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, escape to Zion, you that live with your daughter Babylon. For thus said the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me, regarding the nations that plundered you, truly one who touches you touches the apple of my eye. See now, I am going to raise my hand against them, and they shall become plunder for their own slaves. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion, for lo, I will come and dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall join themselves to the Lord on that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in your midst. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all people, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday, December 19th, is, what walls have you erected in your life? Have they been helpful or harmful? The commentary for Wednesday, December 20th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 54. Your statutes have been like songs to me wherever I have lived as a stranger. I attended a church in Iowa a few times while researching a book. More than 1,000 miles from home, I knew absolutely no one, but as I, the stranger, stood and said the familiar words of the liturgy, I felt part of the community. Some emergency had rendered the organ unworkable, so a pianist and jazz musicians from the local university provided the music. I have played jazz myself, but normally I sing traditional church music in my home parish. These hymn arrangements made everything sound new, as if I were encountering old hymns and service music for the very first time. I can't remember any of the arrangements these musicians played that day, but I do remember how their music transformed me, not just by the sounds they made, but through their creative focus. That morning, God's statutes literally became songs to me. And now I'm going to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses 49 through 72. Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my distress, that your promise gives me life. The arrogant utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your ordinances from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, those who forsake your law. Your statutes may have been my songs wherever I make my home. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, for I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I implore your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of your ways, I turn my feet to your decrees. I hurry and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was humbled, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their hearts are fat and gross, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was humbled, so that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. And the moving forward question for this day is, what songs bring God to life for you? And now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, December 21st. It is the feast day of St. Thomas the Apostle. It begins with a passage from the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it." I was a newspaper reporter. Some residents in the community I covered said I was wrong to write about a public employee accused of misconduct. In despair, I visited my church rector. She reached for this verse in Habakkuk. "Writing about events that concern your community is not wrong," she said. Then she read these words from Scripture. Habakkuk injected a new urgency into my call to write. When tempted to stop seeking the truth because of criticism or just because writing is difficult, I began to see that doubt as an evil force. These words from Habakkuk have been a guide and a challenge as I seek the truth and write the vision. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Habakkuk. It's chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, how can you support your local journalists in their efforts to seek and share the truth? Friday, December 22nd, as known as Ember Day in the church, and this commentary begins with a passage from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, and all that is in them, singing, to the one seated on the throne, and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. This verse describes a world I want to inhabit, where every creature, every last one, joins and sings praises to Jesus and God. Such moments sometimes poke their ways into even the most chaotic worldly life. Think of times in your life when groups come together in united purposes and advance good in the world. In these moments of grace, distractions and doubt evaporate. At this time of year, extended families come together, and amid expectations of joy and happiness, these reunions often surface resentments and disagreements. There might be stress around alcohol or substance abuse, unfair assumptions, old disputes, younger members' desire for respect, older members' insistence they can still do all they have done for years and more. But this year, let us pray for open minds and hearts so we might join together in a chorus to sing God's praises. And now I'm going to read from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 6 through 14. Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with a full voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. And the moving forward question for this Friday, December 22nd, is, do you look forward to or dread family time? How might you seek to transform this experience? The commentary for Saturday, December 23rd, begins with a passage from Psalm 139, verses 10 and 11. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light around me turn to night, darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light to you are both alike. Inside a tent, deep in the eastern mountains, with no moon, I have experienced complete lack of light. When I cannot see even my own fingers, I will loop my headlamp's elastic strap around my arm when I sleep. Yet all human-made lights can fail. When light goes, my vulnerability as a human is laid bare. In the dark, I must depend on God, acknowledging that I am not in command and allowing God's ways to guide me. Hymn writer Kathleen Thomerson paraphrases this psalm and several similar references elsewhere in the Bible in the lyrics, "In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike." To God, darkness means nothing. I sing this hymn when I am strapping my headlamp on my arm in a very dark place. And now I'm going to read the full passage here from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 23. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue. O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, December 23rd, is, spend time reflecting on the idea that darkness and light are the same to God, and what are the implications of these words for your life? And now we reach the end of our program and the end of the week. And we turn to Sunday, December 24th, the fourth Sunday of Advent and, of course, Christmas Eve. This commentary begins with a passage from Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Everything one might think about an unmarried young woman who finds herself pregnant is dismissed by the magnitude of Mary's faith. This humble young woman, unknown in the world, made vulnerable by her condition, responds to the angel. She accepts that hers is no ordinary pregnancy. "Here am I," she says. It's natural to wonder exactly how her pregnancy came to be, but that question is the wrong one, a distraction to the miracle of her openness to bearing Jesus. Mary takes giant risks when she accepts her condition with grace and sacrifice. She is wise beyond her years, the perfect mother for Emmanuel. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And the moving forward suggestion for this Sunday, Christmas Eve 2023, read the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. How do Mary's words inspire you today as we celebrate the eve of Christ's birthday? And a very Merry Christmas to you and your family. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Goodbye until next time.